Thank you, Michael. Thanks very much for having me on.
Yeah,
it seems, seems a long time since my cricket playing days, however.
You, some things you'd like to forget, I guess, and some things you happily have memories of.
Well, there's not too much I'd like to forget. I mean, you know, I had a really good cricketing career, and, you know, I'll be forever thankful for that. I had lots of opportunities, and hopefully I made the most of those.
You grew up in Hobart, Graham, and how did you first get involved in cricket?
Oh, mate, look, I was brought up in the Salvation Army, and as a youngster, cricket was right throughout our family. We had a big backyard where we played test matches every day, and my dad was quite a useful cricketer. And then I had an older brother and a younger brother, and we played test matches pretty much every day. And then moving on from there to the Salvation Army, and I can remember as a 12-year-old playing with the senior men in the church cricket competition.
Yeah, and a solid grounding in the game, and I guess good morals too when you come from there, and that would have held you in pretty good stead, because looking at life through a really nice lens.
Oh, unbelievable. I mean, you know, I'll be forever thankful of the upbringing I had, you know, great family life, and, you know, being brought up in the Salvation Army gives you a really, really good grounding, and with your ethics and morals, and you know, you carry them right throughout your whole life, and you know, it's something I'll be ever grateful for.
Tell us about your early playing career, Graham, and some of the major influences as you were a young teenager, say, coming through playing cricket in Hobart.
Well, I guess initially it was my father. I mean, my father was you know, quite a useful all rounder. And then going to our Bureau Street school, and, you know, those days were, you have to cherish those. And I guess through that little period of time there, I could say that, you know, I was pretty well looked after. And my brother and I used to open the batting for our Bureau Street school, and, you know, many and many times we were the only two that batted. And you know, I think when I look back on it now, that was one of the things that I disliked about cricket initially, because it was quite possible that nine other people, all they did was field it.
Yeah, and that's the way it is in junior cricket, isn't it? That's the way it can pan out. Did you see yourself then early as more a batsman than a bowler? What were you interested in the most? Did bowling come along a little later on?
No, look. At school, you know, I sort of opened to batting and opened to bowling. And back then, our Bureau Street school was one of the lower schools in the area. And we had a teacher called Bobby Parsons who, you know, outlook on the whole game was, you know, we need to win. And, you know, unfortunately, my brother and I guess, were two of the better players in the team. And we were charged each week with scoring the runs and taking the wickets, and you know, and I always felt sorry for the other nine guys, because the very, very few times they got an opportunity to bat or bowl.
So what was your first TCA club, or your first grade club when you were in Hobart?
Sandy Bay, Michael. We were born in Sandy Bay and lived in Sandy Bay for a long period of time, and I can remember as a youngster going down to Queenborough Oval, the lower oval there, and watching the A-grade side train each Tuesday and Thursday, and then being invited to, you know, to have a bit of a hit and a bowl, and then it all just started from there, and started off with under-13s, under-15s, under-17s, under-19s, and then obviously first grade cricket.
You've always been a bit of a fitness fanatic, and you've been someone that has looked after themselves. Was that crucial also in your early days? Who were the influences there that said, all right, a fit body is a fit mind?
Yeah, look, there were many, but I would imagine that the very first time that I was introduced to the fitness levels that you needed to be an elite sportsman, and I'm not saying for one minute that I was ever an elite sportsman. However, but a fellow called Gordon Bowman, who came to Hobart to coach Sandy Bay in football, and he was one of the ones earlier on that gave me a really good grounding and a good understanding of the levels of fitness you need, not only to play Australian rules, but certainly to play a game like cricket that is spread over a long period of time.
My special guest is Graham Mansfield, one of the best cricket players and coaches that we've seen right throughout Tasmania. Graham, you played three first-class games for Tassie. What was your form like leading up into that, or did you get an opportunity by surprise?
It's always a surprise when you get selected for the state. However, back in those days, there used to be a really, really strong competition between the South, the North and the Northwest over the Christmas period, and they were incredible matches that gave you a really good grounding and also, prepared you for higher honours. You know, I was fortunate enough to be captain of the South after a few years and then become vice-captain of Tasmania. So it was, a really, really great experience.
Do you think you could have played more first-class games for Tassie, or was the experiment didn't work?
Back then, we only played once every season, I think it was. Mm. We either had a visiting mainland side come across, or we had one of the national sides come down for a tour, and, not all the time did they come to Tasmania. So opportunities were few and far between.
And just born in that little window prior to Tassie really coming into the Sheffield Shield on a part-time basis first, and then fully fledged into the comp. Just a bit of bad timing for you, probably.
Well, yeah, I guess it was. However, I did have the opportunity of coaching the Shield side for 3 years during the interim period, and that also was a great experience. I think I took over from Dirk Wellham, and I think I either had 3 or 4 years, and players like David Boone and Ricky Ponting and Bruce Dooling and Hodgetts and those type of guys, Trevor Docking, they were all around at that stage, and there were some good cricketers.
Graham, we'll take a break. We'll come back and tell a little bit more about your story. My special guest is Graham Mansfield. He'll be remembered as a wonderful coach on the northwest coast and right throughout Tasmania. He's my special guest. We'll be back soon. Welcome back to the Sideline View. Michael Maney with you, and my special guest is Graham Mansfield, a man who's had a big impact in cricket in Tasmania. Manny, we were talking about your coaching as far as Tasmania was concerned, but I just want to just double back just a second or two to where coaching really kindled you. I know you coached a university club, their first flag, I think it might have been, in the TCA. That must have been a big buzz for you.
Oh, it certainly was. I mean, I can thank my older brother for that. He saw the ad in the paper that university was looking for a coach, and he applied for me and had an interview and got the role. Yeah, it was a challenging role, and I can remember speaking to David Brownlow, who was the state hockey player and a hockey coach down at university, and asked him, how to go about it. And he gave me some really good grounding, and I followed some of the guidelines that he had, and look, the success we had at university was amazing. I mean, normally the university players, they don't train and they're available when they want to be. But I gave them some challenges, and they rose to that. And the end result was a premiership in the first grade competition and also the one-day competition.
Yeah, brilliant. So now we're going to talk about your move to the northwest coast. In the late 70s, you were appointed NWTCA coach. You had a mixed and varied role as a coach. You coached juniors, you were in schools, you did all sorts of things. How did that come about?
Oh, mate, it was a challenging role to play there. I was playing as a professional in England, and Alan Carey, who I'd met through the state program, he gave me a call to see if I'd be interested in moving to the northwest coast to become the inaugural coach of the NWTCA. And I said yes to him straight away before he even told me very much about it. So that's how that came about. I didn't realise, because I hadn't been to the northwest coast on too many occasions, but I didn't realise the enormity of the job. It sort of ran from Latrobe all the way down to Marawar, all the way down to Queenstown, and it covered, I think I visited every school that was possible to visit during each 6 months.
Playing as a pro in England, did you enjoy that? That must have been a good time for you doing that, if we can just diverse just back to that.
Yeah, Michael, look, it was amazing, and I was fortunate again, you know, to know some people like Jack Simmons and David Hughes, and Jack Simmons got me a proing job at Blackburn Northern in Lancashire, and look, that was amazing. I can remember the very first week that I was actually in England, I bowled more overs in that week than I bowled in the entire season in Tasmania, so... They work you pretty hard.
They wanted to get their money's worth. So coaching in the NWTCA, doing all of that, and then you were assigned to a different club almost every year that you coached, which I think would be a really good thing, because you get to see all the young talent and get to play with some of the good young talent along the northwest coast. You coached Penguin, Yeoman, Devonport, Sheffield, played with Latrobe. You got around quite a number of clubs. So that must have been beneficial for you. As the coach on the coast.
Oh, look, Michael, it gave me a great understanding of the ability of a lot of the players along the coast, you know, at the junior level as well, and it certainly helped in selecting, you know, the state under 16 team, the state under 19 team, and then you know the NWTCA interstate teams, and then assisting with the state team. And I think it warranted that too, because each of the clubs made a contribution towards the salary I was earning. So, and I think it helped broaden, and it also helped in the communication between each club as well, because it just opened up the avenue for players to... you know, to look to higher honours.
Well, you turned up at Devonport in the early 1980s, I think it was, in 82, 83, I think it was, and got smashed in a grand final, Danny Buckingham scoring 291 runs. You taught him too well at Yeoman, and Doc, who was just such a wonderful player. Then you got a premiership with Devonport the next year, and brought to us the benefits of making sure that you get the most out of yourself. I think with Devonport, if I want to be self-indulgent for a little while, you came to a Devonport team or club that had a lot of ability but was sort of just freewheeling along and weren't probably reaching the standards that they could. Was that the Devonport that you saw in your early days at Devonport?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I'd sort of looked at it from a distance as well in a couple of seasons leading into that. And, I mean, the ability that those players had, you know, the Pierces and the Muntings and the Arnolds and the Maneys and the Enrights, you know, and I'd been thinking for quite a while, how come Devonport haven't been a success? And I guess you hit it on the head there, where, you know, everybody was pretty pally with each other, were happy to, you know, just to go along, enjoy the game, and if you won, well and good. If you didn't, it didn't matter too much, because there was always a game next week. The fear of being dropped or anything like that, because everybody was so close, was pretty redundant.
8-lap time trials, Graham. I didn't get much on them.
Oh, no, but I tell you what, it instills a lot of camaraderie amongst the team. It builds a base that you can work on. And I've, right throughout my career, I've always been... Well, I suppose you could call it a fitness maniac. However, I never, ever expected anybody to do what I wasn't prepared to do myself. So, and I think, you know, that always placed me in a good position, because if I asked somebody to do something, then they knew I was going to do it as well.
So. You were 41 years of age when you came to coach Devonport, and you were the fittest man from the get-go, and perhaps not the fittest man by the time you left, because we learnt some valuable lessons about how to condition yourself to play cricket. You must have had some fun times, though. I can remember maybe a game against Wynyard where a certain fast bowler for Devonport might have dropped a couple of catches in two balls at the Devonport Oval. I hope he's listening. And just some of the looks that we had that you must have had some fun playing cricket on the coast.
Oh, look, it was amazing. The thing about it, you know, sort of coming from Hobart and, you know, where the competition is really intense, not overly enjoyable because of the pressures that you are, and then wandering up to the coast and just seeing how relaxed people were. And coming from, you know, sort of different backgrounds off the farm, you know, plumbing or whatever it might be, coming along to a training session, having fun and enjoying it, and then rocking up on a Saturday to play a game, still having the ability to enjoy what was about to happen. I think that was the thing that stood out to me, really, and... you know, while you're on the field, you played really hard. But once the game finished, then there was some really good socialising.
Graeme, what do you do these days? I know you've been involved with the Bellerive Yacht Club, I think it is, and you like to sort of get around the place. Where are you right at this minute?
Well, right at this minute, I'm at a place called Pindimar, which is near Port Stephens. I'm on a extended caravan holiday. I left Hobart on June the 19th last year. After 8 years as Commodore to Bellerive Yacht Club, I basically finished that the Wednesday before I left on the Friday. So I decided that was enough. So I needed a break, and I'm having a ball.
I tell you what, you're still in good nick too. I've seen some photos of you, and you're obviously still keeping yourself in good condition. Graeme, great to catch up. We could sit here and chat for hours. We could also talk about the day that you took a future Melbourne captain in the AFL out sailing and knocked him off the boat and had to reel him back in.
Oh, look, there's so many stories one could tell, but it would take a lifetime. I mean, it's been a lifetime building them all up, and you can't expect me to tell you all those things in 15 minutes.
No, but it's been wonderful to catch up with you, Manny. So thanks very much for coming on the Sideline View. It's been fantastic.
Thanks very much, Michael. Appreciate it.